Blog Talk Radio.
He is here. Come on, everybody, lift your hands. The presence of the Lord is here. On one accord.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Interceding with What I Do. I am Pastor McCrae coming to you from International Prayer Center. We'll open our session up, giving the proper protocol, being honest to God who is head of my life, being led by the Spirit, and allowing the things of God to come into my life. I greet you, welcome, caller. I thank you for joining us on this wonderful day that God has made. Amen. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I come to you with praise and thanksgiving, in worship, in humbleness, and through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Holy Spirit, I ask you to quicken me in my Heavenly Father's voice and reveal to me all unconfessed sins that I have in my heart at this time. I ask you to forgive me of all of the sins known and unknown to me, according to Psalms 19 and 12. Heavenly Father, I ask that you just come into my heart, Pastor McCrae, for any unforgiveness, Lord God, for the leadership, for the intercessors, and for all things of our family, Lord God, that are all attending the body of Christ, for all of our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1 and 19. Your word says in John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, that we are faithful and just. Forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Heavenly Father, your word says in Matthew 6 and 15 that if I don't forgive others, you won't forgive me. So, Lord God, forgive us, Lord God, of anything, Lord God, that is not like you. Father, we ask right now, Lord God, that you forgive them and bless them in the name of the Lord and Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I ask you to cover all of our sins, our iniquities, our trespassing, our transgressions with the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I ask you to destroy any ungodly prayers, witchcraft, prayers, psychic prayers, and evil words, side effects and effects that just damage your people and influences that have been prayed and spoken over your people right now. I pray this prayer over their lives today. I ask you to destroy any assignment or plans that Satan has against us, our children, our grandchildren, our businesses, our finances, our ministries, our homes, our properties. I ask you to cause your anointing to break and destroy the yokes of all bondage that are over us alone with all of their work. Lord Jesus, I ask you to pull down and destroy and cast aside all demonic strongholds, vain imaginations, and any high thoughts of each of us that have exalted ourselves against the knowledge of God. Lord God, have mercy and forgive us. And to bring every thought captive in each of us to obedience of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. I thank you that the weapon formed against us shall not prosper. Lord Jesus, I ask you to do all things according to John 14 and 14 and 14. To God be the glory. Heavenly Father, it is written in Psalms 91 and Matthew 6 and any other places that you will deliver us from. And I ask you to give me and every person that I pray for today total deliverance, total freedom, total liberty, total salvation from all sicknesses, disease, infirmities, affections, infections, viruses, abnormal cells, radical cells. I ask you to give us according to John 16 and 23. Heavenly Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over me and everybody I pray for today. Again, our properties, our offices, our buildings, our children, our family. And you, as we render powerless and harmless unto it, Lord God. And to destroy any demonic spirit, powerless, Lord God. Take everything away from it, Father God. And to destroy demonic spirits, strong man curses, witchcraft, psychic, destructions, forces that try to come against us. We bind it up right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I ask you to fill me and each person I'm praying for that's under the sound of my voice, Lord God. Jesus, just have mercy, Lord God. Fill us with the fruits, Lord God, of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we render total submission unto you right now, Father God. I ask that you put a hedge of protection around us, Lord God, so that our enemy, Lord God, will not be able to touch us. Lord God, we just tell you, thank you, Lord, for moving on our behalf, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, for fixing it. Thank you, Lord God, for always being a faithful Father, Lord God. Even those that have turned their backs on you, Father God, remind them that you are still God and you rule and reign over all, Father God. Heavenly Father, help us to know and hear your voice and to walk righteous. Lord Jesus, I ask you to fill us with your divine grace and mercy. Have us to have a convicted heart, Lord God, when we are doing things that go against your perfect will. But, Lord God, if you decide not to, Lord God, for us to continue to be faithful unto you, continue to sing praises unto you, continue to be loyal unto you, continue to do the works of your people, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord God, continue to have us in perfect peace, in perfect presence, Lord God. Let your anointing rule, Lord God, over our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Again, I am Pastor McCray, and interceding is what I do. I greet you in the Heavenly Father's name of Jesus Christ. I tell you, thank you for joining us at International Prayer Center on this day. God bless each and every one of you callers. We'll go right into our word. We will be coming to you from Daniel 3 and 17. Amen. And the word reads, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, have mercy, God. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. God add a blessing to the reader and to the caller. And as this lesson went on, I studied in Daniel 3. And as time would always show us, those that wish to do what God has called you to do, you would notice that you would need to go to the entire Word of God. Amen. In order for you to be able to see the things and understand the scriptures in which God is showing us. When Daniel was giving us the word of God, amen, it showed us that he was speaking concerning the three Hebrew boys. Now, for some reason, I was led to read this saga about the three Hebrew boys. And I want to come to you from a different perspective. Now, I read this story, and I could still not determine why I had been so led to this. I read it again and again and again, and this was some time ago, but suddenly three words seemed to just leap off the page to me. But if not, I stood in awe, and I saw it, and it was just bold to me, but if not. After all these years, according to our deliverance that we would like God to do for us, and you just pray, and you think all these years have gone by, and still I haven't had an answer from God. God may not deliver. And I thought, wow. Is it possible, you know, we've been taught so much that, you know, just pray. You have not because you ask not. But then have you ever just stopped and thought about, is it God's will to deliver us from this situation? Is it according to our will, or is it according to the grace and mercy of our Father to deliver us from this situation? Was I being told by these three Hebrew boys that I should prepare for a time that I may be able to receive no answer from our Father? They seem to have, my Lord, they seem to have it in a unique sense that God is able, but he might not deliver them from this burning fury furnace. But again, I ask you, but if not. In our anxiousness, you know, to lead souls to Christ, we always state that God's responses to our prayers are immediate. You know, if you ever heard your pastors or evangelists or anyone ministry to you, you feel as if as soon as you fall on your face or as soon as you bend your knees and you begin to pray to God, you expect those prayers to be answered immediately. So, you know, I just like to say to you that you have to sit down and evaluate your life. You need to know where you are in God. You need to know if he's listening to you. How can you be determined if God is listening to you? By the character of your life, by the way you're living, by the way you're serving, by the way you're worshiping him. You have to know these things. You know, some of us, we sit at a table of selfishness, and we desire for God to just jump at our beck and call. But we don't want to be able to surrender things unto him. We don't want to be able to do things unto God, you know. Now, imagine this. I love to break down scripture into our day's time so that you'll be able to get a perfect view of certain things. Now, imagine if there was a new maid, okay, if you will, and there was some. She was in your house and she was cleaning up. And let's just call her Denise. And you said to that maid, you said, "Excuse me, Denise. Whenever I shake I point my finger to you and I tell you to come here, to indicate to you to come towards me. I need you to come." So then Denise will turn back to you and say, "And if I shake my head from my left to my right, that means no, I'm not coming." Now, normally we want everyone to respond to us immediately. Now, occasionally we want God to run and answer our prayers immediately. But can you imagine if God is shaking his head back and forth, saying, "I ain't coming"? If you can allow me to just be that country preacher just for a little bit and have my way, I certainly appreciate it, Carla. Now, I have come to you to share a basic truth. As shocking as it may seem, God does not always deliver. One must prepare oneself for God's unanswered prayers. When this revelation was first presented to me, I was researching it diligently. I had to sit down and ask myself, has there ever been some prayers that was unanswered from my Father? And I thought about that, and you know, the answer was yes. I was ready for the prayers that may not be unanswered to my satisfaction at this point. But I used to get a little annoyed, and that's because I was not involved in my Father's business. I was just sitting down allowing God to just bless me and bless me, but I wasn't living right. There wasn't a holy life coming on to me. And so I got to a point where, well, not I got, God got to a point where he said, no, that was it. I asked myself if I had a backup plan just in case God didn't do what I needed him to do. Again, that answer was no, because if God is not in it, it will fail. My faith, amen, would not allow me to even consider the possibilities that God may not hear my plea. Although I still wasn't living right, I knew that God still was ruling and reigning, and I knew that he heard me. But it just never came to the conclusion that he wouldn't answer me. Now, when I refer to the unanswered prayers, I do not mean that God does not respond. I simply mean that God is free to respond to my request according to his will. Not my purpose, not my will, not my beck and call, but his will. And often he responds in a resounding no. No prayer is complete without the submission of our will to his will. With this in mind, I repeat, God does not answer all prayers and deliver us from them when we would like. Amen? There are times when God does not answer our prayers because we have not done all within our power to bring things to pass. He gives us a good mind. Amen? He gives you a will to do things. He gives you a understanding, okay? He clothes you in your right mind, and sometimes we're so loose in the world, we don't realize that we have to do some things in order for some things to happen. Now, there was a young lady that came to me, and again, I love to put things in perspective so that you callers will understand where I'm coming from. There was a young lady that said to me some time ago, you know, I'm always praying, Pastor. I'm always on my face. I'm always asking him for this and that. And he never delivers. And, you know, for me, at times, you know, I like things to be a little sarcastic. So you can actually feel where I'm coming from. Sometimes people just don't get where you're coming from when you're praying. But when you put a little humor to it, they tend to understand. So I said, no. You mean to tell me you've been talking to him all this time and he's not listening? So she turned to me and she said, yes. You know, so I said, well, he listens to me. And so I asked her, well, what was it that you're praying for? She said, well, I've been praying for a car all this time. You know, some preacher told me if I go lay my hands on it and I speak to it, it's mine. Watch out, saints. Don't be tricked and fooled, okay? Don't allow those things. See, there's some work that you have to do in order to get what God has for you. You have to work at it. You can't just walk up and just touch it and say it's yours. You have to evaluate, again, your lifestyle. You have to find out if you're in the vein of God. You find out if your lifestyle is demonstrating that of a righteous individual. You can't just lay your hands on something, okay? You have to be in the will of God. You have to be living right. You have to be praising God. You have to go out and tell the people about him. If you're not speaking of the Christ, if you're not living the lifestyle that the Christ has demonstrated to us, if you're not doing all things according to the rules that were set out by Christ, you know, that means following your leadership, okay? That means tithe paying. That means praying for one another. That means living holy, demonstrating all the fruits of Galatians 5 of the Spirit. Amen? Living according to the rules of God, not the rules of man, because the rules of man will lead you astray. And if you're living by the rules of man, that means you're being governed by the land, not by God. Somebody, I feel that you're following me, callers, and I appreciate that. So I said to this young lady, are you living right? I said, because, see, God is also giving you a right mindset. Now, if you're on a job and you feel like that your expenses have already exalted themselves and your finances are already dedicated, that means If you want to get a new car, you need to find a new job, a better job, a high-paying job that you can afford additional expenses. So what does that mean? You need to go ahead and reevaluate where you are in order for you to get what you want, okay? He gives you a right mind, a right way of thinking. You can't say, I touched that car and expect God to give it to you, but watch this. This is what you can do. You can say, well, you know what? I reevaluated myself. I see where I am financially. So what I need to do is go out and get a better job, go out and get a higher paying job, search out some cars that are in my pay bracket, go back to this dealership, find out what I can afford, and guess what? Now that I've made more money, I can have what I want to have. Why? Because God has allowed me to be able to get a better job, to be able to work a little harder, and save up for what I want, free will. But you have to know that. He gives you a good mind, a good way of thinking. You cannot just go to God and ask him, and you can't just go to him in any fashion. Christ said that he is married to the backslider. That is the fashion he would like you to come to. But you have to get it cleaned up on the inside. Amen? Now, when God does not answer a sincere prayer, he has a reason for that. Only in retrospect that we can see the blessings in the prayers that were not answered. When you go to our Father or you go into your quiet place to talk with our Father, there are times where you're asking certain things of him, amen, and he knows your heart and he knows your life. He knows you're living holy. He knows these things, but sometimes he just wants you to stay right there in the midst of that. Why? Because at that time, he's able to deliver you from some things, and you're able to see some things, and he will be able to get the glory out of it. Amen? But sometimes our flesh rises up, and we don't want to go against those things. Amen? We have a caller. One moment, caller. Amen. I'm sorry, the caller, we wasn't able. Are you there, caller? Are you there, caller? Go ahead, caller. Caller, are you there? I'm sorry, it seems as if we've lost our caller. I do apologize for that. But early in my ministry, it became obvious to me, you know. I wrote by this place, and I wanted this church so badly. And I began to call out the minister so that we can begin to pray, you know. And I prayed and I prayed that the congregation will call and that this place will be running over with God's people. Amen? Then I realized, you know, they were turning to me and they said, unprepared young preacher to become the leader of this flock. And I said, oh, my God, an unprepared preacher. The devil is a liar. These are the things that I had started to hear. But God had said yes. But then when I began to pray for the place that we were passing by and seeing on a regular basis, I heard God loud and clear. God said at that time, no. Now, if I had become pastor over this particular church, then I would never have the honor of leading one of the most powerful ministries that is growing right now, International Prayer Center in the state of Florida. And I thank God for it right now because I was able to be humble unto my Father. And when he told me no, I was able to sit back and wait until he told me yes. Amen? Now, this brings us back to the early assertions that God does not always deliver. How will you respond if God does not immediately answer your prayers? What will you do if God says no? Some become upset with the pastors, and some leave the church altogether. Job's wife thought that he should only answer by saying, curse God and die. And her suggestion to her husband was just that. Job chose to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He realized, you know, that God had given him all that he had lost. So rather than curse his maker, amen, he decided to praise his maker. An early preacher's wife died after long suffering. And he said, you know what, Pastor McCray, I've prayed about this, and I don't know if I can make it, amen. You know what, I just feel like God has just given up on me. God had treated my wife unfairly, amen, and he felt that God had not delivered him. We have a caller, one moment, caller. Go ahead, caller. Caller, go ahead. I'm sorry. For some reason, we're unable to answer the caller. Mm. Caller, are you there?
Pastor McCray, can you hear me?
Caller, yes, caller.
Hi.
Welcome, Prophetess Freeman. How are you tonight?
Wonderful, wonderful. I thank God for the Blog Talk Radio. I thank God for International Prayer Center. Most of all, I thank God for the Holy Spirit being active in your life and in International Prayer Center. I just would like to make a comment in reference to where you are right now.
Okay.
Sometimes, as much as people hear the word, it goes back to, okay, are you a hearer or a doer? Are you trusting and believing God, or are you just want to you want to pick and choose, that's what I want to say, pick and choose the times that you are in line with God and not in line with God. You know, God says he doesn't like us lukewarm. You know, he likes because he'll spew us out. So in the midst of all of what you're saying, Pastor, and you're teaching about, it goes back to us trusting God as well. We have to truly know that we're trusting God. If we're going to actually make prayers and truly believe in our hearts for God to hear our prayers, we have to trust God. We can't just keep going on grandmother's prayers and those who had their mind on me praying for me. You know, we have to truly believe and trust that God is a deliverer, that God is the creator. And that's the most important thing, that he created us. And if we truly believe that, then we'll conform ourselves to what the word says. We'll conform ourselves to all that he requires of us, because there are always conditions to the word. And you said previously that if we are to have prayers and we have to petition God, but we have to be in the place for God to do all that he said. He said his word shall not go out and return void, but it shall accomplish. But the condition is, are you in his will? Are you moving in your own will? And that's the thing. God began to speak to me in reference to our mindset. Where is our mindset? We hear the scripture, but are we on the same mindset? You know, it goes back to what we are allowing to us ourselves to receive. Are we receiving it, or does it sound good for this particular moment? It sounds good. You know, the preacher may have preached it, and it sounds good, but are we trusting God? You know, faith comes by hearing. And if we are hearing it, but we're not being moved, our life is not being changed, then why would we think that God is going to move according to what we petition him for when we're not moving according to what he requires of us. And that's important. We have to know that he requires some things of us.
Amen.
He requires for us to submit. He requires for us not to be all haughty and self-righteous to where whatever we believe or however we feel, but what he says about a thing. You know, people hear all the time about what would Jesus do. Okay, do you truly think about what would Jesus do, or did it sound good? What would Jesus do? You know, that the bumper sticker and, you know, the preacher standing over the pulpit. But then, like Pastor McCray said previously, where's your lifestyle? Is it lining up according to what God is speaking, or you're conveniently scrattling the line? So when it's something that you really want God to do, okay, I'm going to try to get over there, but it's still some stuff on this side that I like to do, but I can't really go to that side that God would have me to go because, you know, I'm still liking what I'm doing. You know, and that's the thing we have to realize. It has to be all or nothing. Either you're for God or you're against God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Prophetess, for those words.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Now I wish I could just sit here and tell you that God always delivers. But I'm afraid that I may face Paul one day and hear him tell me, where was he when my head rolled from Romans, from the Roman chop block? If I said that God always delivers, John might ask, where was he when my head was served on a platter to a dancing woman? If I said that God would always deliver, Stephen would not doubt. Would not, without a doubt, want to know where God was when they stones crushed his life. God does not always deliver. He does know what is best for us in the loyalty and the total will of his wills and his ways. As we return back now, we're going to go back to the scenes of our text. But if not, emerges as a strong statement. It's only a three little words, but it's a strong statement. Amen? But if not, now the king made an image of gold. It was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. Now it was evident that this thing was really big. Now, he said at one time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the setbacks, the different types of music that will play. When these music were begin to play in that particular atmosphere, I want you to just picture this. Now, you have all of our commissioners, our local commissioners, our local government, our local politicians, everybody in our area, amen? Can you imagine that as soon as they hear the music begin to play, that they were told by the king to fall down and worship me? He also put it out that if you do not worship me, that you will be killed in the fiery furnace. Now, I haven't seen it come to pass right now where one of our politicians have come up to us, or one of our leaders, if you will come to us and say, we need to bow down. And I thank God for the liberty in this land, because the United States is truly liberated. Amen. I thank God for it, because it's allowing God's word to come forth like we're doing right now. But can you imagine them telling us to bow down when we hear a certain song or a certain tune come on and worship them? The first commandment said, God said that we are not to put any other gods before him. Amen? But so many times we're doing that. We worship our home. We're worshiping our cars. We worship our jobs. We're worshiping even the pastors in the church. Why? Because we can only see flesh, and sometimes flesh only recognizes flesh. But I serve, you notice, you better get in the will of God, and he said that you are to worship him in spirit and in truth, and that you need not put any other gods before him. But then we find ourselves weak to the world, and a lot of these great men of God, amen, these great men of the land at this time, they felt captured to do whatever the king said. Why? Because they thought that they were under the hands of the king, that whatever he said, this is what's going to happen, and this is how the king is going to handle it. And because I love myself, I love my flesh, I love this, I don't want to part from it. We find ourselves not wanting to lose or give up anything. But see, there was three Hebrew boys at this time that remembered their worship. They remembered the things that they needed to do. Amen. They grew up with the studies, amen, of a true and living God. They understood this. And they remembered that the Hebrew boys could not bring themselves to worship any idol. Okay? They were brought up with the mindset in their land, okay, at this time the Jews were taught about this living God. So here it is. These three little Hebrew boys were seen. They were not boys, so to speak. They were a part of the Legion. They were part of the soldiers, amen? They were part of the people that served and walked the streets and took captives. They served the king. But they were three Hebrew boys. But then when the king set out this particular ruling that we must bow down when we hear this sound ring out, okay, into the atmosphere, that we need to worship this idol statue that he had made of himself. Now, the word came to the king that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had refused to bow down to this golden image. He had them brought into his presence to confirm this blatant disregard to his order. Again, the three Hebrew boys could not bring themselves to worship this idol. And the king of the golden image, he felt, you know, how dare you? Who do you think you are? Because I am king, and I have made this statue of myself. And I have made this known that you must obey me. Now, the statue could not hear or answer or deliver them for their cries in the middle of the night. Amen? But they knew a God that will. The king's God could not supply any of their needs whatsoever. So they felt, and they knew in their heart, why bow down to a God that has no power? No power, no healing power, nor comforting power in the hour of distress. Amen? They knew that this God could not deliver them from these things. Now, the exile faced the king with their refusal garments on. Amen? It was then that they were threatened with the fire if they continued to stand up where all others were bowed. They will be cast into the furnace. A furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. Why? Because the king said to them, turn it up. Raise up the fire. Since they want to be disobedient to me, I want to make sure they burn. Raise it up. Then the king asked, and who is this God? Because Shadrach had already let him know, I'm not going to serve no other God other than our heavenly. So the king again wanted to know, who was this God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now the lesson is undergirding that the entire story is furnished into the reply of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what was said to them, to that king at that time by them, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hands, O king. But if not, be it known unto the king that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen? But if not, now it is interesting to note that the wording here, that they're not sure that they will be delivered from the furnace, but they were sure that they will on the other hand, but be delivered from the hands of the king. Amen? Listen to me. They have faith enough to know that even though I will go through this fire, even though my flesh, amen, may be burned, may be taken away from me, even though I will be destroyed, I'll be delivered from the hands of the enemy. Somebody understands what I'm talking about right now. Somebody is being delivered from this message right now. Even though you have to go through some fire, amen, you're still being delivered from the hands of the enemy. You don't have to compromise anything of this land. Why? Because it all belongs to our Heavenly Father. You just need to know that you know that you know that if he decides to deliver me, come on, Holy Ghost, if he decides to bring me through, I'm going to go through, but when I come out, I'm getting ahead of myself. Somebody needs to hold me back. My Lord, their faith rested not on the fact that God would deliver them, but on the trust that he could deliver them. Because all I need to know is that my God will deliver me. I don't need to know that if I prayed it, he's going to give it to me right now. I just need to have the faith that he will. He said the faith of a mustard seed. I just need a little faith. I just need a little faith to go through. I just need a little push to know that no matter what I do, God is still able. Whether he decides to or not, that is all I need to know. Whether he delivers me or not, I know that he's able. I do not know that he always will, but I do know that he always can. One of y'all will catch that, amen? Though he slays me, yet I will trust him. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. God cares, so I walk in faith. Amen? I walk in faith, pray, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen? He may not heal this body of mine, but I know that he can. He may not deliver me from the hands of my enemy, but I know that he can. He may not take the enemy off of my trail, but I know that he can. He may not lift this load that I'm carrying, but I know that he can. God who loves me is a sacred and faithful God. He is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly. I know that God can deliver, but if not, somebody need to hold on to them three words. But if not, I will still come to church. Every time the church doors swing open, I will still cry out to my brothers and my sisters and ask for prayer. I will still continue to pay my tithes and offerings. I know that he can do it, but if not, I will still bend my knees in the midnight prayer. I will still keep loving on my enemies. Oh, hallelujah. And praying for those that despise me to use me. God always, always, my Lord, will be able to protect me, will be able to shield me, will be able to love on me. Glory. God's ways are higher and above all ways for us to understand why he does what he does. We must be in the will of God, but we will understand it better when we're doing what God will have us to do. Amen? Go ahead, caller.
Amen, Pastor McRae. This is Prophetess Freeman again. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I just like to comment on the but if not.
My Lord.
Sometimes, like you said, there are conditions, you know, and although he may not show up when we would like him to, but he's always on time. And even in the midst of that, condition says that we are to still serve him with all of our heart, mind, and spirit, that we are to continually do those things that he is requiring for us to do. Even if he does not, those are still the requirements. And I think some people need to hear that, that even if he never answers your prayer, you are still required
Amen.
To serve him.
Amen.
To give him all of your heart, to trust him. But if not, I still believe God. But if not,
Amen.
I still will be faithful in the things that he's called for me to do. I'm not going to stop
Amen.
Doing them because I've made a petition and I have yet to hear from God in that petition, but I'm going to continue to do all that he requires of me to do as a believer, as a Christian, as knowing that he is the creator of heaven and earth. I'm still going to continue on even if he doesn't answer.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
We talk about this earthen vessel, and Pastor, you mentioned it. It's true that sometimes we get besides ourselves. You know, when people don't do what we desire for them to do, we'll shut down and we won't give of the things that God requires for us to give. He calls for us to give love. He calls for us to serve. He calls for us to do things outside of self and outside of me, my I. He requires us to do those things. So if he does not answer, we still are required to love our sister and our brother. We are still required not to commit murder. We are still required to put him above all things. He is a jealous God. Thou shalt put no other gods before me. There are still requirements.
Amen.
And just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean you stop doing those things, but you continue to do those things because that lets them know that you trust him, that you completely trust him. And that's what God needs to know. Can he trust you? Can you continually go on even if I never answer you? Good example, Noah. God said to Noah, prepare an ark. And he didn't hear from God until it was time for the ark to be, till the rain to come. But he continued to do what he was told to do. He continued, even in the midst of people teasing him, it's never rained. You build an ark, and it hasn't rained in years. And people laughing. And it goes back to us. Just because people laugh and sometimes we say a little bit too much when we petition God, we want everybody to know. But sometimes it wasn't meant for you to say those things. But then you tried in your faith anyway. Your faith is being tried because now somebody without as much faith as you have now they're saying, okay, yeah, that God ain't he hasn't answered your prayer yet. He hasn't manifested himself yet, you know, and we get moved by people. But we have to know, like the word says, but if not, we're going to continue to move forward. We're going to continue to pray for one another. Pray for those that despitefully use us. Pray for those who dislike us, hate us. We're going to continue to do those things because he's still God. He is the Alpha and Omega. Go ahead, Pastor.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. I'm going to take another caller right now. Thank you so much, Prophetess, for your encouraging words. Thank you. Thank you, caller. You're on the air.
God bless you, Pastor McCoy. This is Pastor Stephen Amaker. I'm just enjoying the words and the lesson that the Lord has placed in your spirit. And as you were saying, and the caller even before me was saying, that's one of my most favorite scriptures in the Old Testament, because that scripture says, if he don't deliver us, we know that he is well able.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Where your faith comes in. If he don't do it, I know he's able to do it. And so now the
Amen.
New Testament says, now unto him that is able.
Jesus.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. If you don't ask people, if you don't have a car, then why would you go and ask that person for a ride? You know they're not capable to give you a ride. So you only go to people that you know that is able to do it, and that's who you ask. So then when we go to God, it's not a question of whether or not you're able to do it, but it's a question about whether or not it is your will to do it. And will you will to do this for us? Will you do that? Is even so, sometimes, just like the Hebrew boys, sometimes God is going to allow us to go through it just to show us even how greater he is in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the furnace. The Bible says that they went through, and I love that, because they went through, and God, watch this, God is allowing us, the people of God, to come through certain, I mean, so many awesome things throughout the course of our lives. And watch this, God is not even allowing us to look like what we've been through.
Oh, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
So
Thank you, Jesus. When
you testify and you tell the people, say, well, I've been through this and I've been through that, people look at you and say, you don't look like you've been through that. Because God is. He'll bring you to take you in the furnace. The Bible says that they came out the furnace, their clothes wasn't singed, their hair wasn't singed, they didn't even smell like smoke.
Come on.
That's when God takes you through a thing. That's the difference. When God takes you through a thing, or when you just go and take yourself through it. Because if God takes you through it, he's going to bring you out. He's going to take you through and not leave you stuck, but he's going to bring you out. I appreciate the word that the Lord is putting in your mouth for us, the people of God, today, Pastor. Be encouraged.
Amen. I thank you so much, man of God. I bless you right now, Pastor Emeka. I thank you for your calling, your encouraging words. When we continue to look back into this scripture, when I studied this chapter, it was evident to me that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not afraid. Why? Because they knew of the God that they served. But because they were able to go through this thing and be delivered from the hands of the enemy, it was all right by them. Now, see, God saw this faithfulness, and he wanted to reward this. So what did he do? We have guided ourselves to believe that this angel that was sent down into this furnace, amen, was our predestined angel, Christ himself, that he went down to protect these boys. Now, when Shadrach leaned over and looked into these flames, he turned to Meshach and said, tell Abednego, there's nothing to worry about. I looked into this furnace, and somebody was already there, is what he said. They're walking around waiting for us to go through. But then the king later asked, did we not cast three men bounded into the midst of this fire? They answered and said to the king, true king. He answered and said, Lord, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and they have no form. And like the man of God said, it seems like it's a form like the Son of God. I don't mind the furious flames, amen? I don't mind the things coming against me. But what it says, if Jesus is already there, if Jesus is already in the midst of our fiery furnace, why are we afraid to go through a thing? Why are we afraid to just go ahead and let go and let God? Why are we afraid to face our trials and tribulations? Don't you understand that when you get ready to go through a thing, Jesus is already on the inside. He's waiting and to be able to cover you, protect you, shield you, and allow you to go through some things. See, what's going to happen is when you're at the hands of the enemy, the enemy is going to have to stop and take a look at the God on the inside. The enemy is going to have to stop and say, hey, what God are you serving? Who is this wonderful God that you're serving? How is it that I sent you through the fire, but you come out better than you went in? Come on now, somebody. Like the man of God just said, once you go through some things, you would not look like what you've been through. Somebody's feeling me right now. When God gets ready to hold on to you and bring you through some things, those trials and tribulations are going to push you up just a little bit more higher. Somebody's feeling me right now. To God be the glory. But if you just look into that fire and prepare yourself to go through and know that he can deliver you, even if he decides not to, somebody is getting a healing and a breakthrough right now. Even if God decides not to, my Lord,
there will be an outburst of cries. Those kids are going to want to know what God you're serving. And my Lord, because you allow God to live in you and they see the God in you, they're going to turn from their wicked ways. Come on, somebody. Just like the kid had to say, I want to know about this God you're serving. I want to know how he was able to bring you through. I want to know about the things that you went through. Come on, somebody. I want to know about all these miracles that he put around you, signs, wonders, and miracles, amen? Somebody's going to want to know, and then they're going to tell them, I can't speak about this. Touch not my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. You're going to find that your enemy, watch out, is going to start protecting you. You're going to find that the things of this land will not touch you. Why? Because you still have faith that God is able to do it. Even if it doesn't feel like it, even if you can't see your way clear, know that as long as you allow God to be in the midst of your life, glory, that you can be delivered from that thing. Amen? Know that you know the God you serve. Know that in your trials and your tribulations that Christ is in there waiting for you. Know that when you get in there and you begin to praise him and worship him and live righteous and live holy, that he's in there waiting to protect you. Somebody needs to give their life to Christ right now. I ask that you, if you can, if you're on the internet, if you're listening to the sounds of my voice, go to our website, amen, www.intprayer, all one word, www.intprayer.com. Come and join us. There's an area on there. Join us. Come out. Feast on the word of God. Bring in the people. Amen. This is what God wants us to do. There's no respected person that needs to teach the will of God. Know that Christ is in the middle of that thing. Know that Christ is teaching us. Know that he's guiding us. The Holy Spirit is dwelling upon us. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Allow the anointing to just be in the midst of a thing. Allow the anointing to break down some strongholds and barriers. And when you begin to do that thing, oh, hallelujah, the enemy will have to turn you loose. The enemy will have to, oh, he said in his word, I will make your enemy your footstool. Come on, somebody. I thank God for it. I thank God for each and every caller, 954-754-305-678. I thank God for you, amen, callers, 310. I thank God for you, area code 305-786. I thank God for you, amen, 386. God bless you, callers, my Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that the word that has gone forth tonight, Lord God, be able to deliver somebody right now, God. Lord, we ask you right now that everything that has happened on this line tonight, Lord God, in our blog talk radio, Father God, Lord, everything that you ordered, Lord God, to be exalted unto you, God, we just tell you thank you, God. Lord, we just want somebody, Father God, to be delivered. Let them know, but if not, if they feel that their prayers and their cries to you are in vain, remind them that you have them just where you would have them to be, Lord God. Remind them that you have them to say just what you would have them to say, Lord God. Let them know that you would have them feel just what you would have them to feel, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let somebody be delivered, Father God. Even when this message goes forth, Lord God, when somebody begins to listen to it, Lord God, let them know that you still God and you still love them. You still lay out for them, Lord God. Remind them that you sacrificed for them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, rule, reign, and abide, Lord God, in our hearts, in our souls, in our understanding, in our living, in our giving, in our receiving, in our serving, in our worshiping, in our praying. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. And until we meet again on Blog Talk Radio with International Prayer Center, and interceding is what I do, with Pastor Priscilla E. McCray. God bless you, callers, and have a good night. We'll be back on this line again on Wednesday night, each and every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. if it's the Lord's will, but if not. Amen?